like you've just been destroyed. Just felt like things are falling apart and coming unglued. Life has just dealt you all twos in your hand. For those of you that play cards, you know what I'm talking about. A hand of all deuces is no good. And everything's crumbling around you, and you just feel like crawling in a hole and pulling the hole in after you. Because everything's crumbling. Everything's falling apart. Everything's devastation. And nothing's working. You know, there was an apostle named Paul. And he talks about things that happened in his life. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, Paul talks about some of the things that happened in his life. Now remember, this man is writing this book, or this letter, from prison in Rome. He's in prison at the time he's writing the letter to the church at Corinth. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, but my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king was guarding the city of the Damascens with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Here's a man, things kept crumbling under him every place he went. Every time he turned around trying to minister for Christ, somebody either beat him, stoned him, or arrested him. We see he and Silas in Philippi, they were beaten and put in prison. At midnight they sang and God opened the prison doors for them. We see at Antioch he was stoned and dragged out of the city and left for dead. God raised him up. Sometimes things just fall apart on us. But if we look at the book of Nehemiah, we see how to rebuild what has been destroyed. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1. starting with verse 3. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. Have you ever felt like that? Just sitting around crying and weeping and mourning? Just like, I just want to sit down and cry. That's all that's left. Just sit down and cry. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. We have to, first of all, not be hard and callous to other people's devastation. Sometimes we run into people who are absolutely devastated. And we have two choices we can make. We can go, oh, well, gee, that's too bad. And go on our merry way. Or we can be like Nehemiah and we can cry and we can weep and we can fast and we can seek the face of God for that person. And we can help them rebuild out of their own devastation. But we should not be hard and callous to other people's devastation. Because when devastation comes on us, remember, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Amen? We need to have compassion for other people when they go through tough times. If you look at Mark chapter 1, keep your finger there in Nehemiah because we're going to come back. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion. Now, when you move with compassion, that's different than sympathy. See, sympathy says, oh, well, that's too bad. I wish I could do something about it. Compassion moves you. Jesus moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Compassion will move you to do something. Compassion will move you to take somebody who's devastated and make sure that they have a place to sleep tonight. Compassion will move you to somebody that's devastated and make sure they have a warm meal to eat. Compassion will move you to lay hands on the sick. Compassion will move you to lead the unsaved to Christ. Because whether you know it or not, the unsaved are devastated. Amen? There's devastation in the lives of those people. And we need to have that compassion for others when they're going through tough times. We need to make a decision to rebuild. See, when you decide to rebuild, like Nehemiah did in chapter 2, and we're not going to read the whole chapter because of time. But you have to make the decision to rebuild. Why do you have to make that decision? Because otherwise you're just going to walk around through the ruins all the time. And every time you walk through those ruins, it's going to remind you of a failure in your life. And every time you're reminded of that failure, it's going to cause stress on you. And it's going to cause you to want to stumble. Do you ever walk through a place where stuff was strewn all over? And then notice how it's hard to walk through it? You know, you kind of stumble and stagger. And why? Because it's hard to walk through ruins. Amen? But see, when you rebuild, when you clean that up, then it's not hard to walk through it because it's nice and clean. You know, a year or so ago, we cleaned out a house for some folks. And this sanctuary was absolutely filled with clothing. And this aisle had boxes everywhere. And you had to walk down the aisle like this and step over here and there and around here like this and over there to get through it. And if it was dark, you couldn't make it because it was a mess. But we cleaned it up, and now you could walk right down here in the dark, and it wouldn't bother you a bit. Why? Because we cleaned it up. And see, that's what we have to do with the messes in our life. We have to make the decision to clean them up. Like Nehemiah made the decision to clean up the mess in Jerusalem. And it's a decision that you make. And you clean them up scripturally. You do it God's way. The first thing the man did was he went to God. And that's the first thing you have to do. You have to go to God. If it means praying and fasting, then pray and fast. Well, how long should I pray and fast? Until you hear from God. If that's a day, that's a day. If that's a week, that's a week. If that's 40 days, that's 40 days. That doesn't matter. You can choose to quit and give up. But what good does that do? What good is it to quit and give up? Where do you go from there? You're at the bottom then. Where do you go from there? You can't go down any lower than the bottom. So you choose to rebuild. No matter what's devastated in your life, you choose to rebuild it. That's God's way of doing things. Look how many times God has rebuilt Israel. He put Abraham in the promised land. He put Jacob in the promised land. He brought Israel out of Egypt and put them in the promised land. He brought them back to the promised land with Nehemiah. And in 1948, he brought them back again. They only have a little piece of it, but they're there. And you know what? I read the book of Revelation. They're going to have it again. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, starting with verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. He wanted to make sure that his request was right, so he prayed. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen was also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. See, he prayed before he asked. God gave him the answers, and then God granted him favor with the king. He got everything he asked for from the king. He had the favor of God in his life. He got everything he asked for. Go over to Luke chapter 2. Verse 52. Now remember what Jesus told the disciples in the book of John, that you'll be able to do everything that I've done and greater things than these because I go to the Father? Well, Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So if Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, then that means we can increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men, right? Because he said we could do everything he did. So see, we can increase in favor with God and with men. Just like Nehemiah had the favor of God, we have the favor of God. All we have to do is ask God, what are the questions to ask? When we start to rebuild, we need to know what the questions are. Sometimes people say, what are the answers? And we don't know what the questions are. So we have to go to God to find out, well, what are the questions before we know what the answers are? And then we can start to rebuild. When you start to rebuild, people will sometimes give you a hard time. People will, sometimes they'll really give you a hard time. If you look at Nehemiah 2, starting with verse 19, when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Remember this. People will mock you. They'll laugh at you. They'll tell you you're crazy. Do you know how many people have told me that I'm crazy? Do you know how many people have told me that I can't do what I've done? Do you know how many pastors have told me that I can't bring in the people I've brought in? Why is that? Well, they have no right, no memorial. Amen? See, what you have to understand is, folks, when you pray and you ask God, What is it you want me to do? And he tells you, and you do it, you're doing it in God's favor. And you can build and rebuild, and it doesn't make any difference what people think. And the God of heaven will prosper you. He will prosper you beyond your wildest dreams. And he'll bring people to help you. But rebuilding also takes a process. You know, there's an old saying. It's not scriptural, but it's an old saying. It says Rome wasn't built in a day. And it wasn't rebuilt in a day either. And neither was Jerusalem. Actually, it took 52 days to rebuild Jerusalem this time. We'll find that out in a little bit. But when you have a relationship that falls apart, you can't rebuild it in one day, barring a miracle. I mean, yes, God can perform a miracle, but it takes time to rebuild a relationship. It takes time to rebuild a financial devastation. It takes time to rebuild a physical devastation. You know, when your body goes through a physical devastation, for instance, a little over a year ago, my body went through a physical devastation. It took time for me to get my strength back. But now, you know, over time, it rebuilt. Why? Because I made up my mind that I wasn't going to stay sick. And I made up my mind that I wasn't going to allow that attack to continue. So there's a process. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6, Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, Meshullam, the son of Besaiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beam and hung its doors with its bolt. Next to them, Malaitiah, the Gibeonite, Jaden, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Uzziel, the son of Hariah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. They fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. And next to them, Rapiah, the son of Hur, leader of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumpa, made repairs in front of his house. Next to him, Hattush, the son of... and so forth. Next to him, and next to him, and next to him, and next to him. Each person had a part in it. Sometimes you're going to need help to rebuild what needs to rebuild, what needs rebuilt. That's why the scripture says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, make sure that you have somebody that can agree with you about your rebuilding, get that agreeing partner, and get them next to you in agreement with you. Don't get one of those people that says you can't do it. And make sure the person that you're with is agreeing with you. But once you're in agreement with somebody, I mean, like husbands and wives, get into agreement about your finances if they're in devastation. Get into agreement about what you're going to do about that mess. If your relationship's in trouble, get into agreement about what you're going to do to fix it. But get an agreeing partner and begin to agree. Get somebody next to you that will agree with you. And begin to rebuild. And stay in agreement. And make sure that you stay in agreement. And communicate. And stay in agreement. You know, it wouldn't do any good if the guy over here is building the wall up this way and the guy over there is building the wall up this way. They had to be in agreement that the wall went up like this, not like that. You need to find your part, take your place, and do your job. Because when you do your job, God will do His job. And everything will fit together. And the first thing you know, you'll have a solid wall. You'll have a solid relationship. You'll have a solid financial future. You'll have a solid physical, healthy body. You'll have a solid whatever you need. And it will all fit together. And your life will be knit back together. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, starting with verse 1. So it happened when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, it'll break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. When you are rebuilding, you have to watch, you have to pray, and you have to work. Because the enemy will come to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes when you're in the process of rebuilding, you'll come under attack. And it will look like things aren't working. You know, Sambalat said, if a fox jumps on that wall, it'll fall down. Well, it wasn't true. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to inspire fear into the hearts of the Jews. And that's what the enemy tries to do to us. He tries to bring fear into your heart. You're not going to make it. Your relationship's going to crumble and fall apart. You're gonna end up all alone. You're gonna end up broke. You're gonna end up in bankruptcy court. You're gonna end up out on the street. You're gonna end up whatever. Sometimes you have to turn around and look the devil right in the eye and say, no, I'm not. Shut up in Jesus' name. And then stomp on him. Because he's a liar anyhow. The Bible says he's under our feet. Over to Nehemiah chapter 6. Now it happened when Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sambalat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sambalat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, It is reported among the nations, and Jeshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So that come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. See, there's that attack of the enemy again. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have caught. In 52 days, they built a wall around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. That's not very long, folks, to build a wall around the city of Jerusalem. Could you imagine building a wall around the city of Franklin in 52 days? It'd take 52 days to get the zoning commission to meet. When God begins to move in your life, when he begins to bless your rebuilding, things will happen faster than you ever expect them to happen. You don't have to stay in your devastation. You don't have to stay in your problems. You don't have to stay in your losses. You don't have to stay in the mess that you're in. You can rebuild. And God will bless it. All you need to do is make that decision. Pray and ask him how to do it. And he will bless it beyond your wildest dreams. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord God, that the word works. Father, I pray over this congregation that any devastation in the lives of this people, that, Lord, that this word will take root in their hearts. They will understand the rebuilding process. They will understand, Lord, that through revelation knowledge, that they will have your wisdom in how to rebuild. And Father, that when they rebuild, it will be stronger than it was before. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.